Phoenix for the morning. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. And chapter 24. I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and verse number 16, please. Proverbs 24 and verse number 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Notice, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I'm going to preach a message this morning with the help of the Lord entitled, A Fresh Start. A Fresh Start. But first, let's pray. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I'm thankful for the privilege that is mine to mount this sacred vessel. And I pray as I do this morning that we not hear from Billy Krieger, that the lovely Lord Jesus would come and stand behind me, and I would be transparent, we'd see him in the message today. Lord, I pray for help in body and in voice and in mind and in soul and in spirit. I don't want to do or say anything today that would be a hindrance to the Word of God going forth. So I pray that you'd give each of us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to comprehend the Word of God today. Thank you for those that are joining by way of social media, those that are listening on our website. And I pray if there be any under the sound of my voice today, whether in the house or online, knows you not as Savior, this would be the day of salvation for them. Be with those that are not here because of illness or being away. I pray you'd raise them up and answer to prayer. Bring them back very soon. We'll thank you for all that you'll do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. A fresh start or a new beginning. It's something that we all need from time to time. So as we approach the Easter season, as we revisited the greatest turnaround ever, which was Jesus' victory over death, let's do so not only looking at what happened on that day, but also at what Jesus offers us when we desperately need our fresh start or our new beginning. I read about one lady that was the church organist. The church was having a 6:30 a.m. sunrise service. The woman overslept, and at 6:31 the pastor called to see if she was on her way. She jumped out of bed, hastily got ready, and arrived about 30 minutes late. The next year her phone rang at 5:30 a.m. and the pastor said, "Marge, I'm calling to say that Christ is risen, and so had you better be." Praise God. Praise God that believers get up and get to go to the Lord's house on the Lord's day. But even more, we should praise God that Jesus got up on that third day. We read in Matthew 28, verse 54. I don't think that's right. If your Bible has 54 verses in Matthew 28, get you a new Bible. Amen. I copied it down wrong. I apologize. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. It's one thing to fall down, and all believers from time to time do fall. But sadly, there are many today who never get up. They remember how it used to be with them. What their walk with God used to be like. How they used to go to church and they used to live their life. But somewhere along the way, they fell and they didn't get back up. One of the biggest factors that keeps many from serving God like they should is not peer pressure or a lack of desire, but it's guilt. One of the biggest factors that keeps many from serving God is guilt. I've talked to many people who have done something in their past that they're totally ashamed of, or they fell out of church years ago and would be embarrassed to return now. No doubt you've heard someone say this. Maybe you yourself have said it at one time. Well, I'll tell you, if I went to church, the roof would cave in. You ever heard anyone say that? Have you ever said that? If I went to church, nobody would know what to do. People would think they're in an episode of the Twilight Zone or something. No, I better stay away from church. I just worship God in my own way. The problem is, with that kind of thinking, we're looking backward instead of forward. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, I quoted these or read them in the Sunday school hour this morning. This one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You may have fallen, but I've got good news today. You can get up. And you must get up. You must get up and go forward. Just do this. Tell God that you know that what you've done is not in accordance to His will. Tell him you understand that. Tell him you realize that. Tell him you don't want to do that again. You don't want to keep living out of fellowship with him. Tell him that you're sorry. Not just you're sorry you were caught, or not just you're sorry you were found out. But tell him you're sorry. Ask him to help you hate sin like he hates sin. Tell him you want to walk with him. You want to be in fellowship with him. You want to follow him in everything. And then do that. Remember that the past is in the past. But the future is as bright as the promises of God. By the way, that's not a one and done thing. The fact is, in my own life, there are many, many times that I have to go before God and say, "Hey, Father, it's me again." I'm coming before you humbly, letting you know that I hate my sin. I hate my sin. I don't know why I continue to do it. Well, I know why I continue to do it. It's because I'm flesh and I have a sin nature. But God, I don't want to do it anymore. I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. But sometimes I feel like the Apostle Paul. The good things that I want to do, I don't do those things. And the bad things that I want to do, those are the things that I keep doing. God help me. Once you've received the forgiveness of God, get back up and serve Him with all your heart. God gives us fresh starts. When my children did wrong, they were corrected and then they got forgiveness. When my grandchildren do wrong, they're corrected and then they get forgiveness. And after that, we all move on and we strive to do better. When I mess up and end up in the doghouse, I tell my wife that I'm sorry. And I do all sorts of penance. And eventually, I'm awarded probationary status once again. Don't let Satan keep you from living the Christian life, because he keeps bringing up your past. Just respond to God in the present and change the future. And the next time, listen, the next time that Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. Glory to God. Just respond to God's forgiveness. The past has passed and cannot be changed. But your future, church, your future is unwritten. Proverbs 24:16 says, "A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Can I say this morning? Can I remind you of something? And I hope you know this. I hope you understand it. I hope you realize that maybe at this time in your life, you just need to be reminded of this. You're not a failure because you fall. You're only a failure if you don't get back up. If you get up just once more, then you fall, then you're a success. That's called failing forward. God loves you just as you are. He loves you too much to leave you that way. That's the kind of unconditional love we should also have for our children, for our grandchildren, for our spouses, and for everyone in the church, in the family of God. Psalm 103, verse 14, my favorite psalm, says this: "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." That's unconditional love. Thank God. My wife knows that I'm an idiot. My wife knows that from time to time I'm going to do stupid things. But she loves me anyway. God still wants you. He's there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He's sovereign. And thank God he can make lemonade out of a lemon like me. Want to talk about an ultimate mess? An incredible turnaround? Just look at Jesus' time on the earth. Talk about turnarounds. Jesus came to earth to personally solve our sin problem. Yet he was rejected by the masses. He was betrayed by a friend. He was deserted by his followers. Then he was tortured and killed. At that point, humanity's destruction was not only justified, it was sealed. Then suddenly everything changes. Jesus is alive and well. Can I say, you can't keep a good man down, but you can't keep a God man down. Instead of judgment, his crucifixion brings us forgiveness. Instead of a dead martyr, we have a living Lord who intervenes on our behalf. Instead of a cause for shame, the cross becomes our greatest source of pride. And then that damnable Friday becomes Good Friday. Whether it's for our whole life or just for a part of our life, the requirements for a successful turnaround are exactly the same. How can we have a fresh start? Well, let me give you several ways this morning. The first way we can make a fresh start is by having a clean slate. A clean slate. Colossians 1 verse 21 says, "And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Colossians 2 verses 13 and 14, "And you, being dead in your sins, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 1 John 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Proverbs 28, verse 13 says this, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." A fresh start, listen, a fresh start without a clean slate will not last. There are two conditions that are necessary to have a clean slate. Number one is taking responsibility. Taking responsibility. I remember hearing about a comedian by the name of Flip Wilson. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? He had a catchphrase that you no doubt remember if you know anything about him. He used to say, "The devil made me do it." Remember that? And we would laugh at that, kind of chuckle. But the fact of the matter is, that's an excuse that a lot of people use today for why they sin. Well, I just can't help it. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Or I mentioned in the Sunday school hour this morning, or it may have been in this message, my daddy and my mama were sinners. So that makes me one. Or for generations, there have been some wicked, unruly people in my family. My wife could say, "I just can't help it. I'm a descendant of Jesse James. That's why I live the way I do." No, if we're going to get a new slate, if we're going to have a clean slate, we need to take responsibility. Paul put it this way, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He said, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Why do I sin? Because I'm a sinner. Why do I sin? Because I'm rotten to the core. I sin because I don't care what God wants. Now, we perhaps would never verbalize that. We'd never put it in just that way. But when we sin, listen, when we sin, we're telling God that we know better how to run our life than He does. That we know better what's best for us than He does. That we know, listen, we know what He said. We know what He's commanded us to do. We know all of that, but we don't care. That's not going to help us to get a clean slate. If we're going to have a clean slate, we need to take responsibility. But not only that, not only do we need to take responsibility for our sin, we need to change direction. Change direction. That really is what the word repent means. We talk about repenting of our sin, confessing it, forsaking it. It's not just saying, "Oh, I know that's not right. I know that's wrong. I shouldn't be doing that." That's a start. That's the first step in admitting and acknowledging that what we do sometimes displeases God, but it's more than that. It's changing direction. It's doing a 180 degree turnaround. I was walking with the devil. I was living for the devil. And I told God I didn't like that, and I asked Him to help me not do that anymore. And I start to walk with God and live for God. I change direction. That's what the word forsake means. The verse I quoted a moment ago, 1 John 1:9. Also Proverbs 28:13. forsake. Flee it. Shun it. Get away from it. Don't have anything to do with that anymore. Repent. Turn around. Walk away. Forsake it. A fresh start. A fresh start is not a head start. It's starting over. Starting over in a new direction. Not only, if we're going to have a fresh start, not only do we need to have a clean slate, secondly, we need to have a new game plan. A new game plan. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verses 5 through 7 of that same chapter, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Can I say this, church? A fresh start without a new game plan always produces the same old results. A fresh start without a new game plan always produces the same old results. If I face my sin and I say I don't want to do that anymore, I don't like that. I don't like how I act and react to things. When I'm not pleasing God. I don't like my attitudes towards people. And then we just go on. We're going to, before long, get back to the same old ways. What should we do? We should say, I don't like it when I sin. I don't like the sin. I don't like how I act. I don't like my attitude. I don't like my response to others. And here's what I'm going to do to change that. I'm going to saturate my heart and mind with the Word of God. I'm going to get around people who can help me to live a godly life. I'm going to listen to good preaching to encourage me to live for the Lord. I'm going to have good music playing on the car radio. I'm going to do all that I can to strengthen my walk with God. Not just live the way that I've been living and hope for the best. God's ways are often counterintuitive. They don't fit human logic. Mr. Spock would have a problem with walking with God because some of the things that God asks us to do don't seem logical, do they? It doesn't seem logical to not go the way that seems straight from point A to point B. but instead go the way that God leads us, through some twists and turns, through some valleys and over some mountains. Get some bumps and bruises and scrapes along the way. The logical thing to do would be to take the straight path. But what does God say? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who go in thereat. But narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. I could put it this way. If living for God was easy, then everyone would be doing it. But it takes guts to live for God, church. It takes guts to follow the Lord. And sometimes we have to make some hard choices. Here's the big decision. Do I trust God's advice or my own best judgment? We need a clean slate. We need a new game plan, but then we need this. If we're going to have a fresh start, we need a clean slate. We need a new game plan, but then we need this. We need power to keep going. Power to keep going. Now, I apologize. I don't have my usual alliteration with the points today. I just wrote them down as God gave them to me. We need a clean slate. We need a new game plan, but then we need power to keep going. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. A fresh start without power to keep going is nothing more than a good intention. During the Battle of Waterloo, a man stood on top of a great cathedral in London. He was like a man who stands on an aircraft carrier and holds signal flags. The whole city of London was anxious to know how things were going. All were wondering if the Duke of Wellington could defeat Napoleon. The man stood on that cathedral watching for signals from the battlefield, relaying news. When he received a message, he waved his flags to give the people of London a report on the battle. He received news and began waving his flags. When the people of London looked up, they could barely see through the fog. The message they were able to see was, Wellington defeated. They could not believe it. Their hearts sank. But then there was a break in the fog, and they saw the rest of the message, which said, Wellington defeated Napoleon. The entire nation of England rejoiced. Church, when Jesus died, the message that came to the disciples' hearts was this: Jesus defeated. But 3 days later, the fog cleared, and the message they received was this: Jesus defeated Satan. When Jesus died, it was a moment of sadness. But 3 days later, when He rose from the dead, it was a moment of gladness. Christians around the world celebrate the glorious truth that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And you may have fallen away from God, and it's led to sadness, but the victory that God has purchased for you still applies, and you don't have to feel defeated. You can get back up and have a clean slate. I like the way one man put it. There are no stains on the pages of tomorrow. Did you catch that? There are no stains on the pages of tomorrow. You can have a fresh start today. Maybe you failed. Who hasn't? Let me give you this admonition. Just don't fail to be saved. One songwriter put it this way: pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces, trust in His holy word. He will put you back together and make your life complete. Just lay the broken pieces at the Savior's feet. This morning, if you're not saved, get saved. If you're not right with God, get right with God. If there's anything between your soul and the Savior, make it right. Come back into fellowship with Him. Thank God. Thank God that relationship will never be broken. If you're a child of God, you'll always be a child of God. Your children, your grandchildren, they'll always be your children. They'll always be your grandchildren. Nothing will change that. That relationship is constant. It's secure. But listen, from time to time, the fellowship is broken. The fellowship is not what it once was or what it can be. There have been times when my fellowship with my children has not been what it needs to be. Right now, our fellowship with our daughter is not where I would love it to be. Is she my daughter? She always will be. Nothing will change that. Her son is my grandson. But our fellowship has been broken. I pray that God will restore that. I pray that one day those of you that haven't will get to meet my daughter. She was, may still be, a sweet, sensitive, baby girl that had a heart for people. Tender heart. It was kind of a running, I don't know if I'd call it a joke or a running gag. Every Christmas, birthday, her birthday's today or tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow, the 31st. God help her, protect her, wherever she is. But it was a running gag on her birthday or at Christmas to see who could get Jenna a gift that would make her cry. But I love my daughter. I love her with all that's within me, but I don't have fellowship with her. Sometimes, though God loves us and always will, sometimes our fellowship is broken. I don't walk as closely with Him as I need to. And it's like the husband and the wife that were driving down the road. The wife turns to her husband and says, "Hey, remember when we used to snuggle up to each other when we were driving down the road? I practically sat on your lap while you were driving. We were all over each other. People would pass us and they would just shake their head because we were so pathetic." Without skipping a beat, the husband kept driving. He said, looking ahead, "Well, I haven't moved." And when our fellowship with God is broken, it's not because He's moved. It's because we've gotten away from Him. May God help us. Do you need a fresh start? How do you get one? Get a clean slate. Have a new game plan. Find the power to keep on going. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for its power. Thank You for its authority. Thank You that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And dear God, it may be that someone under the sound of my voice today has gotten away from You. Maybe someone here in the house. Maybe someone watching or listening online. Listening on our website. I don't know. It may be that they're as far away from You as they have ever been. Help them, God. Help them to have a fresh start by having a clean slate. New game plan, and the power to continue on. There are other needs that are represented here today. Dear God, I pray that You'd help. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed for just another moment, if you're here today and you'd say, "Pastor, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. Never put my faith and trust in His shed blood. Would you pray that I would get that settled before it's too late?" If you're here and you like that, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to come back to where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Would there be one who'd say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved." If you're here and you like that, just slip up the hand and put it right back down. God bless you. I wonder if you're here today and you have another need. Maybe you've gotten away from where you need to be with the Lord. And you need a fresh start. You need to just forget about the past and follow Him. You need a clean slate. You need a new game plan. You need the power to continue. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's in the area of reading your Bible and praying. Maybe it's in the area of giving. Maybe in the area of witnessing and sharing your faith. I don't know. I don't know and I don't need to know, but God knows. And if you allow Him to, He'll help you. In a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. When we do, I'm going to ask you to slip out from where you are and do business with God, whatever your need is, whatever it is. If you're watching or listening online today and you've got a need, would you reach out to me from this page from which you're listening? Let us know how we can pray for you, how we can be a help to you. And may God bless you is our prayer.